Carolyn, what do you have for us?
Well, this month there was this rather overly hyped announcement from NASA that didn't, after all, reveal evidence for the first life on other planets, which is kind of a bit what they were leading us to suspect. But it did allow us to marvel all the more at the sort of complexity of life that our own planet can come up with all on its own. And the issue is that traditionally there are six chemical elements thought to be crucial to the sort of biochemistry of life. You've got carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, sulfur, and phosphorus. And you need these to make up all the organic molecules and living matter, you know, including all the nucleic acids, the lipids, the proteins. However, this news was of a bacterium found living in a very salty lake in California that seems able to break this rule. And indeed, it can replace the phosphorus with arsenic. So it's the first time we've ever found anything that can use this toxic chemical for its own growth and to sustain its life. You know, while this may not be immediately relevant for astronomy, it just proves that life is a lot more flexible than we thought. And it just widens the criteria of where life might be possible, what kind of environments, not just on our Earth, but in other solar systems through the galaxy.
It's been quite a controversial paper, actually, that first of all, NASA were accused of overhyping it. And I guess when NASA say we have an important release about astrobiology, then people are going to get quite excited. But also some of the biology has been under question.
Yes. I mean, the issue here, as I understand it, is that it's not like these microbes do this naturally in their own environment. These microbes have been removed from the lake and taken to the lab where they're gradually weaned off the phosphorus and introduced to arsenic, and they did the replacement. It's clear they would still much rather use phosphorus. So it is a rather kind of artificial setup. But, you know, I still think it's got potential for teaching us quite a lot about bacteria and how versatile they are.
It's also been a wonderful example of, in a way, citizen science, because the corrections, the criticisms largely came from the internet rather from the scientific community. The blogosphere, as it were, went crazy to try and correct and adjust all of the claims that the paper were making.
And this brings up another interesting layer of debate about how you should carry out this kind of scientific conversation, because we're used to carrying it all out within scientific press and journals, and yet this is happening much more rapidly than we're used to within the internet and within blogospheres. So it's quite a different way of doing science and responding to criticism that I think is quite hard for some of the scientists involved.
It's a brave new world, I think, for trying to incorporate new media, trying to incorporate the internet into the very traditional and quite slow-moving world of peer-reviewed journals.
And it also teaches us all the perils of the press release.
Andrew, what do you have for us?